Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 219. G'day.
G'day. How you going?
Oh, really good, mate.
Struth.
Bit rainy here. I think it was raining last week and I think it was raining the week before.
But now it's really raining.
Raining so much.
I've caved and actually got my raincoat out. Normally I just
Just whatever. Well, I was away in Canberra on the weekend hockey tournament, right? And driving there was horrendous.
Of course.
Like really, really bad. And then when we got there, it wasn't raining. So we're like, are we a bit lucky? We played three games on the Saturday.
Yes.
And it wasn't until the 2 minutes before the final game. It was nice and dry. 2 minutes before the final game, absolute torrential rain. Just in time for everything to be soaking wet overnight, and then everybody has to put the same stuff on the next morning.
Nice.
So nice.
How did you go? Your team, how did your team perform?
Well, we were in a pool of 15. And we came second in our pool, and then we had to play. It was very convoluted, by the way. We then had to play the top team from another pool to see who would go into the final, but we lost to that one. But you know what? I was really, really happy because that would have meant we had to play another game.
Yeah, sure.
And I was spent.
That's enough effort.
Absolutely spent. But it was really good. It was good to go and do stuff.
Like, did you get to go to Questacon?
No, there was no time for anything except for hockeying and eating food.
Oh, got
a good schnitty.
Of course.
Had some, you know, a nice breakfast. Not too big though. I was a bit worried. Not too big before before playing. And then I had a cheeseburger and whatever cheese they put on it. Yeah. So good.
Yum.
Oh, yeah. Melted just right, you know.
Nice.
So I've done a little bit of watching. But if I need to talk about lots of things that I've watched, I'm just going to start talking about games that I watched.
Well, you know what? I didn't watch a ton of stuff myself. I read a lot of comics this week.
Oh, nice.
I built some Lego. I practiced other hobbies and interests.
Perfect.
I watched some stuff.
But of course.
Maybe it just means we have a little bit of a tighter show today.
I'm with you. Oh, although I've got a lot of news.
Me too.
Got a lot of news.
We can fill the room with news.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the irrational fear of not finding a table at a restaurant. Simply book beforehand and then, as the saying goes, she'll be right, mate. Terror avoided. So far this month, there's been 17 different incidents of cats refusing to drink milk. This has understandably caused distress and alarm to their owners as they try to figure out what's wrong. Being creatures of habit, I'm talking about cats and humans, answers were sought at local vet clinics. Vets provided explanations that range from might be sick of drinking the same thing day in and day out to you've switched to almond milk, cats don't drink that, to are you serving milk in the correct bowl or saucer and is it at an agreeable temperature? While no firm result has been found, the Watchersville Goats Farmers Milk Association suggests trying their product for your feline friends instead. Their statistics show that 622% of cats prefer it to the cow stuff. The ladies in the Broach group are on the hunt for experienced needle sharpeners. The bloke they currently use is retiring at the end of the month, and they're keen to line someone else up soon so that they aren't without that service for long. Once one of the most noblest of trades, it saw a decline in the late 19th century. We have been lucky enough that our county still values and trades aggressively in the broaching market and, because of that, have had a modest but steady amount of needle sharpeners over the past couple of hundreds of years. If you know anyone who considers a sharp needle is a good needle, point them in the direction of Denise Harrington, the president of the Broach Club. Jamie Jameson is only 2 days away from completing his Law and Order marathon watching session. We asked him how it's going mentally, and he said pretty good, but if he didn't have to see another set up to a crime, he'd be happy. He did say, though, that he still loves hearing the da-da. After 456 episodes, we don't blame him. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
You're a very colourful person when you like to do, you know, your clothes are always very colourful, right? And yes. I took inspiration from that. And yes. That is, we're going to have a colourful quiz.
Oh, fantastic.
Colourful quiz.
Fantastic. Sometimes I do feel for the listener that they don't get to see because I actually put in, it's the only time of the week I put in effort, really, of what I'm wearing.
Well,
I like to wear a fresh shirt and stuff. Today's
shirt. Purple shirt, but it's got a lot going on.
It's a lot of different colours. It is a 90s animated Spider-Man Sinister Six lineup.
Cool.
You've got Mysterio, Venom, Dr. Octopus, Hobgoblin.
That's a good name.
The Lizard and the knockoff Vulture, not the OG original. Oh, okay. Old one.
The 90s Vulture.
Yes, the extreme Vulture.
Goshy.
But I've put in a lot of effort so that the royal purple of the shirt matches the royal purple on my kicks.
Yes, I like those shoes too. They're nice sneakers.
Thank you. I've got a royal purple accent in the hat I'm wearing.
Where? Oh, yeah, up there.
Someone gives a shit.
Very high.
I give a shit about these things. I tie it all together.
That's very nice. Good. Thanks. Purple too, like a royal purple.
That's enough catch up about us. Mm. Let's talk about things people are here for, like movie news.
Oh, well, speaking of movie news, did you see that Mr. Benedict Cumberbatch got himself a star on the Hollywood Walk of Star Fame?
I did not see that. Tell me more.
Well, I saw a photograph, right, and he was looking very serious. He was standing directly on it. I thought, do you want to stand directly on it just a little bit back so that people can see? But his choice was to stand directly on it.
This is my star.
That's right. So, and to his left, he had Kevin Feige, and to his right, he had J.J. Abrams. And I went, that guy's going.
He's connected. He's got some good people.
These are the people that are showing up to his Walk of Fame. But, like,
I wish he'd made Martin Freeman be there against his will, just to keep that Sherlock vibe going.
That's really good. I would like that too. Don't they get rid of stars?
Yes, they cycle people out. You've got to buy them.
Yeah.
Weird Al refused to buy one himself, and they've been offering one for many, many years. His fans were the ones that actually bought him
that's
the star.
So cool. That's when you know you're a proper.
That was genuine, his take.
Yeah.
His take is, you know, I've made fun of these people. It's not right that I put against them. But if my fans choose for me to be there, then I will take that.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's all I've got with that. That was a nice way to kick off the news.
That leads me into my Weird Al news. There seems to be a lot of Weird Al news at the moment, which is great.
Why?
You know I'm excited for that movie and the photo came out with Daniel Radcliffe. Well, there's been revealed the Weird Al's Museum of Hilarity pinball machine is coming.
Ooh.
And I am fucking here for it.
Do you have it? You don't have a pinball machine at home, do you?
No, I don't. It takes up I have Big Buck Hunter, I have Ninja Turtles, and I have an X-Men fighting machine, and they're all great.
Mm.
I love a pinball machine. This thing is chunky.
So I feel like pinball machines are the most expensive out of those kind of things.
They are not only the most expensive but also the most difficult for upkeep because everything else is just a computer inside a box and you make sure the wires are connected and it's good, whereas the pinball has so many different levers and operating mechanics.
Yeah.
And then if it's an actual old school style pinball board, then everything inside needs to operate and stuff like that. Now, this one is half digital, half old school.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ramps and there are all sorts of devices to get locked in, and there's a hamster ball and there's the camera from UHF and all this stuff from Weird Al's career is in there. But there's also 17 of his best parodies or original songs that play, and the digital elements are coded to interact with whatever song's playing.
Mm, fun. That's really fun.
So you can play a weird nerdy, white nerdy course or you know, Amish Paradise.
Or Eat It.
Yes. All your favourites are in there.
What was the Madonna one? Like a surgeon. Yeah.
Cut for the very first time.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So the elements for the Weird Al pinball machine are something like, I think it's 1200 for the basic and then 1500, and there's a Weird Al that like dances across the top, animatronic style. And then there's also the 3800 for the actual pinball machine.
Mm.
But when you buy that machine, all the elements are interchangeable so that this company releases new games all the time. And you get the digital files for the digital bit, and a different backboard and this sort of stuff. So you can update your own pinball machine as you go.
Which is really cool, but also indicates that you need to know a bit about the ins and outs of pinball machines.
I have, like, yeah, I've looked into it because I'm really interested in a pinball machine and I would love it. I'm quite seriously considering getting a digital machine where it's, you know, it's all just a flat panel.
Is there a service, maybe not in Australia, but there must be somewhere, maybe America, where you can rent a pinball machine a couple of months or something?
Yeah. That's
the way you do it, right?
There's arcade rental machine places around everywhere. Sydney's got quite a few companies and some of them are really big. And Australia actually has quite a big arcade machine community of people that are restoring machines and stuff like that. I've also looked into getting a claw machine because that's Linz's favourite.
Yeah.
And we've gone out places and she's, you know, spent 20, 30 bucks, whatever, just having fun on the claw machine, wanting that.
So whatever
one
it is,
at home would be pretty
plushy
cool.
toy or something. Mm. Yeah, that is cool. Speaking of cool, we've spoken about the fact that the White Lotus is getting a second season. We know that. We also know that Jennifer Coolidge is back. We know that, right? But I've got a little bit of information about what the story's about.
What's it about?
So it's going to be set in Italy this time, or should I say, for the Italians, Sicily.
I've been there. With my mum.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it's all right.
Be warm down there
it's
too.
Quite warm.
Right around, that's on the Mediterranean.
Yes.
Very nice. Well, she might be there as well. It's going to be set in an Italian resort. She is the only character from the original show season that will be in this second one. I'll just give you a slight rundown of some of the new characters. So there's going to be an elderly man and his son and grandson traveling together. There'll be an English expat on holidays with his friends and his nephew, be a young woman traveling with her boss, and I'm pretty sure that the boss is actually Jennifer Coolidge. So that's interesting because you knew that she was a bit well off and she had
– sure.
So that'll be good. There's like a married couple and all these things. So it's always – I mean always. In the first season it was – every group or couple or whoever was on this holiday all had something to do with each other, even if it was just an interaction at one point in time. So it'll be interesting to see where the story goes this one. But if it's got a lot of Jennifer Coolidge in it, I'm happy. Yeah. She was – everybody likes her, right?
Bend and snap. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly.
I just tried to do it.
It's good.
They said it couldn't be done. But I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Do you love Call of Duty?
I used to play Call of Duty.
I also used to play Call of Duty and I was a big fan of it back in the day. But
yeah,
we just got hit with too much of it. Way too much. Just smashed every year. Well, get ready because next year there's a break coming. There's going to be no new COD for 2023.
That is the first time ever, right?
First time in more than 20 years. They're not being super public with reasons, but A, I think they're very, very confident with how this year's version of Modern Warfare 2 or
Modern Warfare was a couple of
that was 2019,
but you got the Battle Royale, I can't remember what it's called, War something, but I think it's based on
Warzone.
I think it's based on that.
Yes,
and they've added bits from the.
This is going to be something the sequel else. Directly to whichever one was the most popular of the last few. So they're feeling very confident that the multiplayer segments with DLC and stuff will have the longevity to last the 2 years potentially.
Look, I listened to some gaming podcasts and people are always saying, when are they just going to give them a break? Like Assassin's Creed has given everybody a break and you come back and they're interested, you know, they're interesting again. That has to have something to do with
the purchase.
Microsoft. Like it has to. They must have said, no, guys, you guys have a rest.
I'm sure there's got to be an element of that in there. Yeah. Anyway, we will hear more about that.
Interesting.
That's a big news story.
Yeah,
one
massive.
That's not a massive news big story, but relevant for my gaming needs is that Jurassic World Evolution 2 has announced that they have a new DLC pack coming March 8th.
Ooh, hang on a second. That's very special soon. Day. Well, it's close to a very special day.
Why is that? It's your birthday. No, it's March 10th. But thank you. I appreciate you remembering because everyone else seems to have forgotten. This is a public service call to my family. You've forgotten. So, yes, they're bringing out a Camp Cretaceous DLC pack. Now, you know I love that show on Netflix. And, yes, it's aimed more at kids. But there's all sorts of quality of life improvements. There's a free update coming alongside at the same time. So you'll be able to do individual tree placement, which doesn't sound like a big thing, but is a big thing. They're adding a couple of new dinosaurs, including one of the big villains from Camp Cretaceous, which is the Scorpius Rex.
Oh, that's big. That's going to cost a lot, though.
Well, I know. See, Jurassic World, that had the Indominus Rex, and that was the big T-Rex-y looking one that could camouflage.
Yeah.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom had the Indoraptor, which was the Indominus Rex crossed with a raptor.
Yes.
And that was much smaller and bent over and stuff. The Scorpius Rex was before either of those, and it was one of the first experiments that Dr. Wu did, and it went horribly fucked up wrong. He put in too much scorpion DNA.
That's going to do it.
And it's basically a scorpion raptor.
Massive scorpion.
It's not huge because it climbs the trees and scuttles, and it's gross.
So you're gonna get this DLC, right? Because you're going to have a whole heap of those. You're going to breed them and sell them to other Jurassic Park worlds.
It's not only adding that, but it's also adding skins of the specific dinosaurs from the show. Fun. So there's Bumpy the Ankylosaurus, which hangs out with the guys for the first two seasons while they're still on the island. There's Toro the Carnosaurus. It's awesome. I'm very here for this.
I like the name Bumpy.
Bumpy's pretty good. And then I can't even remember. There's a Kentrosaurus, Pierce. There we go. That makes a lot of sense. He has a spiky tail and spikes all over like a Stegosaurus. Oh, so yeah. Pierce.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. The names are pretty on the nose.
Well, they've got to be. Will you get that on the 8th or will you wait till the 10th to treat yourself?
No, fuck no, I'll get that.
Yep.
I haven't bought the last Planet Zoo DLC pack because I've barely been on the computer.
Mm.
I can justify grabbing half an hour on the PlayStation when I go past.
Yep.
Computer for me is always have I got 4 hours? Because that's how long it's going to take to build this walkway and a small bridge setting up next to where the first enclosure will go.
No.
Yeah.
That is nitty gritty.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
Anthony Mackie, we know that bloke. He's been in lots of things. He's now going to be in an adaptation of the video game. I've never played it, but Twisted Metal, I've definitely heard of it. Have you played it?
Is that the car racing one?
Yeah.
Yeah, many, many years ago with the Psychotic Clown.
That's it. That's it. It's going to be on Peacock this show.
That's got to be late 90s, right?
Let me have a look.
I think that's PS2 era.
Let's have a look at the history of there's a lot of Twisted Metals. Oh gosh. Yeah, you're right. First one came in 1995 and then followed it up a year later with Twisted Metal 2.
Because I remember that being in the era of kind of the same Grand Theft Auto original one. Oh, you can't let your children play this.
yeah, that's exactly.
They want to go on Mad Max style adventures.
Oh, they were on so many PlayStations. Yeah, they've been on every PlayStation except for 4. So maybe cancelled game. They had some cancelled games.
Sure, they'd be due a return.
Yeah, I think so. 2012 looks like it's the last one. But anyway, Twisted Metal is going to be a half-hour action comedy starring Anthony Mackie. He's going to his character's name is John Doe.
Good.
I love that. It's going to be a smart-ass milkman who talks as fast as he drives with no memory of his past, like most characters in video games, you know. Start off not remembering anything. Link, I mean, in Breath of the Wild is exactly the same. So that sounds like a lot of fun. And that deranged clown ice cream truck has to show up at some point in time, right?
Yep.
Has to be. So that'll be fun for Peacock. You've got Peacock, don't you?
Or do you have
Paramount? I can't remember. Both.
I might have turned Peacock off at
the
moment.
They both start with P. I can't remember.
Do. There's too much P around. Too much P. Speaking of not P but R, so I've been following news about a film called Renfield. Now, Renfield is Dracula's manservant, right? So they've confirmed that the Renfield movie is coming out April 2023. Now, listen to this murderous row of people involved why I'm so interested. So Nicolas Cage is playing Dracula.
I love this.
Nicholas Holt is playing Renfield.
Yes.
He's sniveling.
Two Nicholases for the price of one.
Don't know who they're playing yet, but Awkwafina and Ben Schwartz are both in the mix as well. Robert Kirkman came up with the pitch, so he's the man behind Invincible, Walking Dead, all sorts of big ideas that can be condensed into a sentence very well. And one of the Rick and Morty writers, Ryan Ridley, is the one doing the script. So this is going to be a pretty weird, funny movie.
Sounds really good.
I'm really into this.
It's an interesting cast because when you say the two Nicholases, right, immediately you're like, oh, they're quite different to each other, but I can see Nicholas Holt melding in quite nicely,
if you're struggling picturing him do that, think of Mad Max Furiosa Road.
Mm-hmm.
Or what was it? Is that what it's called?
Last Mad Max. I think it was just Fury Road. Yeah. I can see that, but
The sycophantic skinhead.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. And Awkwafina, of course, they're just going to ask her to be her, which is all you want.
All you want. Ben Schwartz is going to be manic as shit.
So good. I hope he's got big hair, like in
Parks.
Yeah. I'm really hoping. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Very excited about that. Something I'm less excited about is Michael Douglas will be playing Benjamin Franklin in an Apple TV limited series. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you're a Michael Douglas fan, he's going to be playing a 70-year-old Benjamin Franklin.
He's already been struck by lightning and shit by then.
It's got something to do with the French Revolution. But I already watched the 48-hour Les Mis movie, so I'm good, thanks.
All right, well, I'm going to return volley with something that equally sounds cool, but I probably won't get around to reading or whatever. But I don't know if you remember Ben McKenzie. He was on the OC, Ryan, the main kid, the broody. He was kind of the
blonde, mousy blonde. Yeah,
broody, a lot of that. He was then in Blue Bloods, I think it was, with what's his name? Redhead from Walking Dead, big moustache.
Yeah, he was in Beverly Hills 90210 as well.
Yes. Anyway.
I can't think of his name.
Oh, man, I'm off.
Abraham, but I can't remember his
Yes. So, and then after that, he was in Gotham.
That's right.
And he was Jim Gordon in Gotham, and he hooked up with Marina Baraken, who's now his wife. Mm. They've had children and all this.
That's nice.
So since Gotham wrapped, everyone's been going, where's he at? Because he tends to take a year off and then sign up for a TV series. And if he's keen for it and puts in the effort, they generally get 4+ years out of it.
He's pretty strong. He's one of those blokes. He surprised
everyone because he's co-writing a book about crypto scams. He's like, and not enough people are doing the investigation into the people behind crypto stuff. A lot of people only have a very basic understanding of it and stuff like this.
Yeah, definitely.
He's like, as a celebrity, people are approaching me wanting to hawk their crypto stuff, and that's where I've drawn the line. And so I'm doing an investigation into that, and he's working with a really good investigative journalist. And, oh, man, that sounds really interesting because he's – done some really surprising and thoughtful stuff, and he's not like a guy who's just interested. He's like an economics major. That's what he did back in the day. So he's got all this nous behind him.
And he's
going to use a bit of his star power and wattage to use those connections.
So he's only just announced that this is going to be a book, right? So
he's been working on it for some time.
Okay, because I was going to say, surely he's started to wrap his head around NFTs for a few chapters.
Apparently, they're already shopping around the documentary format of how this then gets blown up to the next level. And yes, I completely. If it's successful for him, I imagine that. Oh, okay, this is my thing now.
I heard a brilliant, I can't even remember who it was, but it was just in conversation. Someone said, oh, yeah, you know, I often think, no, I'm going to get my head around NFTs now and, you know, how they're good or bad for the environment. And I do my research, I have a look at it. And then like 5 minutes later, I come out of it and I go, I think I'm more confused than I was before. Yeah. So to have something that's concise, like, you know, a book or a doco would probably benefit a lot of people.
And so much of all of those things, and like, if you're doing well out of them, congratulations and well, more power to you. But most people aren't. And it's because they're built on like a sliding mosaic of movement. So anytime you think you've got a handle, you've got to shift and jump if you want to go straight to the moon.
By the way, the moon is now an NFT, so sorry.
Owned by M&M.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What, the chocolates or the wrapper?
Both.
Okay, fantastic. Together. That's good. My final story is not so much a news story, it's just Greg Daniels, who adapted the Office into the American Office.
And did Utopia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like heaps of stuff. He's kind of had an idea.
Sorry, not Utopia. And he did Upload.
Upload. Sorry. You know what? In my head, you said Upload. I knew exactly what you're talking about. Funnily enough, they're both on Amazon.
They are. Distracting.
Yeah. Anyway, he's got an idea about how he could do like an extension of the Office universe, and he's comparing it to how the Mandalorian does that.
Can I have a guess before you say?
Yes, because he doesn't have a solid idea.
Oh, he's got to do Bob Vance refrigeration.
That's pretty good.
Because then they're going out to different companies each week installing. And you can do the same thing Party Down did. If Party Down set an episode every time at a different catering event,
yeah.
This is a different install.
Different cameos, that kind of thing. He said he's like, I can't tell whether fans would want more of it or not. He was like, they like the idea of wanting more, but would they actually like it if they got more?
Yeah.
Because you can't kind of have a, hey, let's have a big reunion where we all start the story again. Yep.
And they wouldn't all still be working together.
No, absolutely not. So to have maybe one character.
Yeah.
And I like what you're saying.
If you're going to go one character, go real tangential. Someone, you know, or the guy that came and restocked the vending machine or something like that.
Because you can still have the same humor.
Yeah.
And at the different places that he goes to, could be some of your old
workmates. There you go. That's how they interact with them. Oh, look, this is Daryl's new warehouse.
That's right. Oh. Yep. So I don't know. It's probably not a thing, but I'm sure NBC over in the US would like that.
Oh, they would.
Imagine being magically whisked away to Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey, look, I'm going to tie a few things together here and flip blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to talk a trailer first, then come back to the news story, which leads into my fun fact.
Great.
So the trailer is real simple and real brief, but I'm on board for it. Coming from the people that made Lego Masters is Domino Masters, and that's going to be on Fox, and they are out to find the best domino stackers and flackers or whatever you call it.
We don't want to watch someone play dominoes.
No.
We want to watch the flick.
Yep. Brrr. These are teams, so it's not one person racing. It's teams of people that do this all the time anyway. The stuff that the trailer shows is great. Eric Stone Street is the host.
I know the name.
Cam from Modern Family.
Yes. Yep. I think this has got, without watching the trailer, I think this has got the makings of some very satisfying and dramatic television.
Oh,
satisfying when the dominoes go down and everyone and it works.
Dramatic
right?
When it doesn't.
Dramatic when it suddenly stops halfway through, or they're in the middle of fixing something and suddenly.
Yep, and someone's going to knock something somewhere rogue, and then they're out of the finals. And yeah.
I hope we get it here.
Well, I'm sure it will be because, as I say, it's the same people that made Lego Masters in the States. So it's going to be the same vibe. It looks like the same sort of
happy
companion piece to it.
Happy.
And that's
happy.
Why they've got another funny guy host all set up. So, yeah, I could see that trickling down to us.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to watch it.
Yep. All right, so that's only a week or two away.
Oh, cool.
I'll let you know.
Yes.
Now, finally, news. Get excited because Alf, he's back, and not just in POG format, which used to be the thing because Alf was gone for a long time and then there were Alf POGs on The Simpsons and now that's the joke everyone makes about Alf. No, a company called Shout, and that's Shout with an exclamation mark, Shout, they've bought the rights for all and everything Alf.
Just everything, including television.
Bundled it all up because it was carved with a few different people and stuff. They've got it all snatched back together. Very so exciting. They've got 102 episodes of the show.
Wow.
They've got the 26 episodes of the animated show. They've got however many episodes there were of the Alf Tales, which is the other animated show that some of it was on Melmac.
Oh.
They've even got the TV, made-for-TV movie, which I've never seen. All sorts of Alf gear is going to be coming down the pipeline, and they haven't said, you know, they can sell this as a package to a streamer because none of the other stream, you know, the rights that were so convoluted, they couldn't get out there. So get ready for an
great idea,
Alphageddon, Alphnascence.
Alphnascence, I really like that one. I think this is really cool because obviously they're going to sell it off to streamers. You start with the original series, right? Obviously,
and then
you go, well, maybe we can make a new one.
Yeah.
Here are some toys.
That leads me into the fun fact.
Yes.
Because it seems that anyone that's interested in making a new version of Alf is deemed and sure to repeat the mistakes of the past.
Oh, no.
So Max Wright, who played Willie Tanner, was so ready to be done with Alf, be done making that show, playing second banana to a puppet.
And doing that voice.
When the final day of taping ended, he immediately cleaned out his dressing room and left the studio saying, "Thank fuck I never have to do this again," without saying goodbye to any of the cast or crew.
That's so awkward.
Part of the reason was that the Alf puppet was operated from various trap doors hidden within the set, making filming more hazardous than in a normal sitcom. Now, like when we walk around normally, our eyes glance at the ground and see where we're going. When you're watching a TV show, if you see someone doing that, it pulls you out of the reality of things you expect people's eye lines to maintain. So they were constantly falling down fucking trapdoors. and they had to remember where the doors were.
Yep.
But then also, because this was well before the era of OH&S, there wasn't anyone there to go, "Shut that trapdoor when you're finished with that one, when we move to the next one." So they were just pratfalls constantly.
I think that might be the best case of needing to block out a scene that I've ever heard.
Well, here's the problem with that, is they would try and do that. And if they were considering any time they moved the puppet,
mm-hmm.
they had to entirely relight the scene and all this sort of stuff because the puppet was anchored to that point and so everything needed to be based on it. So trying to get it to do reaction shots to anyone was difficult. Trying to get it to move to a new location slowed everything down. Maybe they can do different stuff with CGI today, but it sounds like it was hell.
I wonder how they managed to keep the – because it was a sitcom, so I assume that the audience was live. How on earth did they keep the audience interested?
I think there were –
maybe it's just a laugh track.
Yes, I think some parts were done live and a lot of it was laugh track.
Yeah.
Because
to have them sit there whilst you relight something.
Yeah, it just sounds like it was a lot. And they had, you know, there was a small person who operated Alf from inside.
He was moving around.
Yes. That was the operator. And then there was another person who voiced, but I believe also sometimes performed hands or I don't know. I don't know. But either way, consider this a cautionary tale for anyone at Shout who is currently considering how to bring back Alf. The answer is, you're going to have to pay people a lot of money to put up with that puppet's shit.
Yeah, and don't ask
Willie.
Don't ask Willie.
They kill me.
We've got a colourful quiz coming up for you very soon, but we might as well crack on into stuff that we've been watching.
Oh, can we?
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Now, we spoke briefly before the show began.
Yes.
And so I will tick this box off very quickly for you now. Everyone listening at home, Walking Dead this week, surprisingly, was good.
Two for two.
They're on a hot streak. It has jumped forward in time. Now, you remember last week there was a bit
of
a tease.
6 months, I think.
So this is now 1 month.
Oh, okay.
So it's 1 month of being inside the
Commonwealth.
Yes.
Okay,
the first month of being inside. Not everyone's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But we're checking in with plenty of people who have gone. Jerry, having a whale of a time. He and the kids settled in very, very nicely.
I can imagine that.
This episode is largely set on Halloween. And to give you an idea of just how jarring it is, this new world, there is a Halloween fun fair that is taking place. In the beginning of the episode is Daryl, Judith and RJ walking through a chained fence area with zombies coming at them and stuff. And then one gets too close and Daryl says, come on, man. Back it up a little bit, and he goes, oh, sorry.
Oh, so it's a person pretending to be a zombie.
Then you realize that they're in a haunted house, and it pulls back, good. And they're in a, and wow, very that was clever. But the focus for the show has dramatically shifted from, you know, the stuff with the Reapers is done,
yeah,
and now we are, it's a show about class.
Yeah, class system, which is what kind.
We've seen enough now of what happens to people when the world ended, of how they can debase themselves and fall off the track. This now looks at what happens when people have built things back up. How long does it take them to go back to being the awful people they were before? So they that's a big idea, and they're playing with something that has not been on Walking Dead much before, and I'm very, very interested to see where it goes.
Angela King.
Oh, it's good. It's good. She's grabbed this and it's reinvigorated. So very excited. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. We've got another 6 episodes left of this part 2 of 3
season. You know, it's the final, but it's not ending yet. It's the last
home
ever.
Home stretch.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching the 3rd season of Snowpiercer, which is on Netflix. And
Sean Venus.
Yeah, he's there. He's there, Mr. Wilford. It's a funny show, right? I like it. I do enjoy it. But I've rewatched the first half hour of the movie, right?
Yes.
The 2013 movie with
wonderful film.
Chris Evans in it. And straight off the bat, you've got this it's like a quirky eccentricity to it that I didn't realize until I watched that. The show has none of that and didn't from the very beginning.
Right.
Show's very different. The show is, it starts off with a murder mystery, like who is the murderer on this train kind of thing, and then it's gotten more and more convoluted. And the bits that I really liked about Snowpiercer originally were the Jennifer Connelly storylines, right?
Sure, yes.
She's very good, and her character was hiding this enormous secret from the whole train to keep the train going.
Has she got a baby growing out the back of her head like a tumor?
It's not a tumor.
I don't know. I'm just having a punt at what it might be.
No, it was the.
Does she have gills?
She doesn't have gills. This is a spoiler if you haven't seen the first season. But Mr. Wilford was never on the train.
Right.
He was never on the train. And she, from the very beginning, from the moment that train took off from the platform, she kept up the illusion that he was there the whole time, and the whole train went along with it. And talk about class, it's all about class system, sure. Right? And then, you know, the secrets get unraveled and whatnot. And then that's when Sean Bean comes in, because he is actually Mr. Wilford, and he was on the backup train.
The backup train. I'm so glad there was a backup train.
He came behind the big train. I can't remember what the big train's called, but he came.
Gordon,
that's it, it's Gordon. And he was not happy he was left behind. So then there was a whole
fuck
struggle.
You,
yeah, all that
Why
kind
was
of
I
stuff.
On Percy?
But I enjoy the series, but watching this, oh, I just, it's really missing that special thing that the movie had. So maybe finish watching the show before you dip your toe back into the film again.
The movie is very good.
Very, very good.
It's very strange.
Yeah, but it's great strange, right?
Yeah, but it's I mean, it's what you want. It's Korean cinema done with a Western finance. It's great.
Really, really good. So Snowpiercer. The funny thing is, right, Snowpiercer the series is available on Netflix, but I couldn't find the movie on there. I could only find it on Stan.
Oh, sure.
That's weird, right?
It is weird.
Very strange.
Grab some turpentine, acetone and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have you been watching?
Look, I've been watching an awful lot of The After Party on Apple Plus. I'm going to talk more about that next week because the finale is dropping on Friday this week, but I'm really enjoying it. Do you know anything about this?
No, can you give a quick rundown?
It's the guys that made the Lego movie and the Spider-Man Spider-Verse and very odd stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this show is set at a high school reunion. It's 15 years since everyone left school. And it follows action at The After Party, which is hosted by a guy named Xavier who he's basically Justin Bieber.
Mm.
And so we quickly learn that plenty of the guests at the after party resent him or have issues stemming from childhood problems. He gets murdered.
Oh, wow. He
falls off the balcony. And yeah. Tiffany Haddish is the detective who comes.
Cool, I like
and
her.
And she's individually interviewing each person. And she says, I want to sit down with each of you because everyone's got their own mind camera and they'll see things how they want. And each episode is a different genre. So the first episode is Sam Richardson, who he was in Detroiters that I love. He's in Veep. He's a lot of stuff that I love. He's in a romantic comedy. And it's all about the girl that got away and he was going to tell her how he felt at graduation and to come together and he's trying now, all this sort of stuff. The second episode is about that girl's ex-husband who thinks he's in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, right.
And so it's a hardcore action movie of him saving his daughter all the time. The third episode is Ben Schwartz.
Oh, nice.
Who's in a musical.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like a comedy, but yeah, right.
Oh, it is very funny, his stuff, but he's like full on bursting into song and everyone else choreographed dance around him. Eliza Glazier, was that her name? From Broad City.
Alana.
Yes. She's a drunk, a very damaged woman, and it's hilarious because in everyone else's episodes, she's various levels of drunk of how they perceive her.
Yeah,
but
nice.
When we see her
That's
episode,
cool.
She's completely sober for all of it because she's in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
You know, like,
this is such a fun idea.
And it could only come from these guys that love to smash together genres. And so, yeah, every episode is different. As I say, I'm going to delve more in next week when it's done. But the setup for the finale was, oh, that's so clever.
So with the Tiffany Haddish bits,
yes.
Do you only see her asking them questions or does she end up in their world? Like, does she end up in the musical?
No.
Okay.
She's not happy about being sung to.
Okay.
She just wants to wrap that episode up really quickly
that's
and
cool.
says as much.
She's got no time for
She commentates on stuff and it pulls out of the story.
Uh-huh.
And you see how stupid the person is being in telling their story.
Yeah.
It kind of undermines things
like
all
that.
The time. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very twisty. Real good whodunit. Great supporting players throughout. You'll recognize plenty of the people in there from stuff you've seen before. Awesome music.
That's so fun.
So, Ben Schwartz does three songs in his musical episode. Dave Franco.
Oh, yeah.
James Franco's little brother. He plays the pop star. And
okay. So he must be in every episode then with flashbacks?
He is.
Yeah.
Putting it together.
Yeah.
And it's very clever because the first few episodes, he's scum and everyone you're following is golden.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, you realize that maybe he's really broken by what a lot of people did to him back in the day. And there's some people that you thought were paragons of sweetness that you find out are pretty shitty people, and it's all to do with that perspective of how you put your own prejudice on the world.
That's very clever.
And retain that information. So this detective is trying to put together garbled nonsense from half of them, but every episode she gets one little thing. Oh, okay, so the hat fell first, so there was someone with him. He didn't fall onto the hat. The hat was already down. Just tiny little tidbits.
That's very clever. I wonder if with the final, because, I mean, I don't know, but the final
no,
may not.
There's no season two. I can't see them. To bring it back together would be way more convoluted than necessary.
Yeah.
I could see them finding different actors to do a similar event and maybe Tiffany Haddish goes and she's a detective unraveling that one. But this is kind of like Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
They're making Knives Out 2 and 3 and that's going to follow Daniel Craig and that makes sense.
Yep.
I could see them doing something similar to that. But this was so intricately woven and, I can't see them recreating it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need
Yeah, you don't need it to. Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Between that and Peacemaker, 2022 is off with a bang for me. Just shows that a landing.
I really hope that the season finale is like a detective noir, you know, like that kind of black and white.
So episode five is set in 1990-something and it's flashing back. No, 2000 and it must have been 2006 or something like that. So it's flashing back to what happened on the night where everything went sour. And it's such a beautiful, it's a half recreation of Can't Hardly Wait and half of Project X, which was that POV found footage live.
Yes.
Party music, a movie. The sixth episode is like a Disney princess style animated thing. The seventh episode is Tiffany Haddish,
yeah.
And her one is flashing back to her being a rookie cop.
Okay.
And yeah, it's kind of Lethal Weapon mixed with You Can't Handle the Truth.
Mm-hmm. Cop. Few Good Men. Thing. Yep. Yep.
And then I'm not. For anyone watching, I'm not going to say who the eighth is, but the eighth is not someone who's in any of the cast pictures or things like that, and it was a total swerve because I sat there at the beginning of the seventh episode going, I don't know whose episode eight, whose story is that? Because the main characters, we've had all the main ones on the poster. Yeah. And then when I tweeted, oh, shit, that person's seen everything and no one's paying attention to them at all. Great.
What's the show called again?
The After Party.
Okay.
Apple Plus. That sounds so good.
Really, really good.
Yeah. So they've got that going and I've just started dipping my toes in on Severance, which I'm going to be coming back and we'll talk about.
That sounds more serious.
That's the one with Adam Scott where he works at a company where they split your brain. So what happens at work, you can't remember outside of work, but similarly at work, you cannot think of family. Sounds kind of nice.
Mm. But working from home would be awkward.
You can't work from home for what they do. Okay. I don't want to get into it yet because it's kind of horrifying.
Oh.
It's not a ha ha ha. It's very dark.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so it's more a utopia than an upload.
Yeah. Yeah. It's how much are you prepared to sell of your soul to the corporate machine? And the answer to these people is fucking everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
People, get a grip of what get you're a doing. Grip. My goodness gracious me. Are you ready for a quiz?
Oh, let me get my bowl out. Oh!
Please, sir, can I have some more? I did say it was a colourful quiz.
You did.
And it is. I've called it What Colour is in the Title? So TV, movies.
When you say title, are we looking at font for logo or background screen? What, or just a general?
The name. Just the name. So, for example, Orphan Black, right? So I would say Orphan something and you would have to say black and I'd say correct.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. I understand this.
I was very impressed with myself that I didn't accidentally give you one of the answers.
You did. I saw you stop, think.
Which one? Go.
Go.
Yep. Something is the new something.
L'orange is the new
Nero.
Le noir.
Oh, okay. Very, yes, absolutely correct. Orange is the new black.
I don't know why I had to be French.
You can be French a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah. Something swan.
Now, a white swan, that's what everyone just expects.
You expect it to be that one.
But the other one, that's called a something swan event because it's so unexpected. A black swan.
Black swan, absolutely. Did you ever see that film?
I did.
It was a film, wasn't it?
It was a watch.
She was having some problems.
Yeah, she was very committed.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably it.
A black swan incident is a very big thing in physics.
Well, Black Swan, the ballet, is a very big thing in ballet. So physics and ballet, I get those two mixed up all the time.
Don't you just?
So can you explain the physics part?
I can.
Just, I mean, you don't have to go into great detail, but just a...
Everyone in the world thought swans were white until they saw a black swan and it upended thinking around swans completely. So it's now known as a black swan event. It's when something happens that was not previously conceivable, yep. But once it happens, everyone goes, oh, yeah, of course. Okay. So it's kind of a seismic shift. It's a seismic shift in understood and accepted scientific fact.
Yeah. Okay. I get you.
Bam. There you go.
And the Black Swan Ballet is about,
believe it's about finding beauty within oneself and not being concerned about being part of the crowd. Yeah.
Moulin something.
I can be franked.
That's right. Franked. Whoa, it's like you're from Paris or something.
I do a better French accent than
the French.
Ewan McGregor in Moulin Rouge. But not a better French accent than Ewan McGregor in Beauty and the Beast, where he is Lumiere the candle and does a great job. Well done to him.
He's going to be the cricket in that Pinocchio, Netflix Pinocchio thing.
Gilmero. Is that Gilmero?
I think it's the Gilmero one, yeah.
Because, like, if it's Gilmero, I'm really interested. Mm. If it's not, I really don't give a shit about
Pinocchio. Because if you want to watch Pinocchio, you can go watch the old one.
And I enjoy that one, even though it scares me. I go on the ride at Disneyland for that, even though it's old and run down. Well, not run down by Disney standards, but it is a classic.
We were talking about this show, I think it's a show. Yeah, this show not long ago. Something Stone. We definitely have not seen it. It's one word. Something Stone.
Yellowstone. I had to go through my old bloody colour wheel in my head then, because I got a colour wheel on my paint desk at home.
Oh, do you?
But yeah, for when I'm sitting there doing my miniatures and stuff, I've got to make sure I'm doing my highlights, gradients and everything like that. So I'm sitting there going around. And it took me the whole way around the wheel till I got back to the yellow. I'm sitting there hanging out in green.
It's not green.
Yellowstone. With close personal friend of the show, Kevin Costner.
Mm.
Always great to hear from you, Kevin. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Get in touch.
Yeah, come on. Final one. The Something Mile.
So many different lines, miles. Miles and things in films. You've got the thin red line. You've got the thin blue line.
Yes.
But if you're talking about distance, you've only got one green mile. That's when it's...
That's right.
This is the longest walk you'll ever take.
I know. It's really sad. There was also... there was a murder mystery series called White Lines that I was tempted for, but I was just like, you wouldn't. I don't think it's one that you would have watched. I would have spoken about it. I did want to put in the colour purple because I knew you were going to wear purple.
I did wear a lot of purple.
But I ran out of questions.
That's
and I was
all right.
Like, I don't
we could have discussed
it.
Purple rain or the colour purple. Maybe that's it.
We talk about those too and really enjoy ourselves.
Oh, how we'd laugh.
We would have so much fun talking about it, but it's not to be.
Not today.
Tom, on that purplish note, thank you very much.
Try the grey stuff. It's delicious.